What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And welcome you to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 with me, as always, Alan Medlock from AMedlock1 on Twitter, Red Dirt Redbird on the site. This is our second show of the week. It's kind of crazy. And it would think that, man, two shows in a week, you don't have a lot to talk about. Little bit of stuff. You know, if it wasn't for the two games in Minnesota, which we'll get to, that are worthy of discussion in their own right, although not pleasant discussion, probably. The Cardinals today, of course, had two positive COVID-19 tests, which means they did not play today against the Brewers. And right now are kind of in a holding pattern. They're planning to play tomorrow, but Alan, this is a situation we've talked somewhat about all year long, it feels like, about what's going to happen with these things, when we're going to do it. We've seen what happened with the Marlins, where they just kind of, to some degree, ignored it for too long, and it blew up. But, you know, the Cardinals have two tests. Even if everything comes back negative, how confident are you that they should be playing tomorrow?
Man, tomorrow is that kind of surprised me when they were adamant about playing, you know, Saturday right away. Kind of like when you and I were texting back and forth this morning. It was a gut punch, and it's even a gut punch when you know this stuff's going to happen. Real world scenarios here, we're seeing it everywhere. You know, it's aggressive. We're going to see it, but it's still one of those. I was like, oh man, is baseball even going to make it to next weekend? You know, type situation. And it was still a shock, still hated it. And it was one of those, I was thinking, oh man, I don't know if I can just deal with this right now. I want to say yes, because it's completely selfish of me, because I want to get right back on it. And I want to say, okay, these protocols were followed. You have one game, you postpone, you reschedule, you move on, and you're good. There's a part of me that also wants to say, hey, let's be cautious here, because I was kind of thinking, let's back up, and I kind of said this on our last show as well. Last Monday, whenever everything was going downhill with the Marlins, I kind of felt like they may just say, hey, let's put a stop to everything on Monday. Let's get a reset. Let's test everybody. Then we'll be a go on Tuesday. I kind of wish that would be the way that they would do this for tomorrow as well. And it sounds like they're kind of following those protocols, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, when is that other shoe going to drop? And are the Cardinals going to be that team now? Like, hey, why did they play on Saturday? And I don't want that to happen, because, you know, I mean, think about how irrelevant the Marlins are right now in a deal to where now they're just coming over the waiver wire to get who they can to play. And I just don't want that to be the situation, because then I feel like you're going too far just to get the product out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a pretty strong argument. I think I saw that, you know, there's been, I think, 15 games already, delayed, postponed in the first week. Of course, most of those are Marlins games, but still, I mean, 15 games is really close to 10%, you know, 8 to 10% of your games. You know, if they have another week like that, I mean, you really got to start thinking about it. You know, I mean, and, you know, we saw today there was a little bit of an article. I don't know if you got the chance to see it, but there was an article, and I think on ESPN.com, where Manfred basically went to told Tony Clark, if the players don't shape it up, then, you know, they could cancel the season as early as Monday. I think one that Manfred is maybe, searching for somebody to blame too. I mean, these protocols and stuff were very, you know, hey, y'all behave, you know, and that's not necessarily good. But it also sounds from reports, and again, we don't know anything for sure, but it sounds like the Marlins didn't take it seriously. They went out and you can't go out clubbing and stuff in Florida, in any place, but especially Florida these days. To get back to the Cardinals, I feel like if they come back with negative tests, you know, everybody got tested twice today. They took a test to, did one of those rapid tests, I think, and sent it to Milwaukee Hospital. And then they did a test where they sent it to the lab in Utah. If all those tests come back negative tomorrow, you know, it's been at least 2 days, maybe longer since these people have been exposed. I would expect somebody would come back if there was a widespread infection. And so I might feel better about them playing. I'm still hesitant. I mean, it still to me kind of feels like if you get a positive test at the beginning of a series, you should just cancel that series and get it out.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, it's funny. It's tough to pin the blame on anybody right now because the uncertainty just affects every aspect of what we do, you know, of our everyday lives, of the players' everyday lives. It's really weird to say, hey, you guys, I mean, one, following protocol is the most important, and you're right. It sounds like that did not happen. That's stupidity, and that's arrogance, and that's youth, unfortunately. And we can blame it on that. It's tough to say anything to Manfred. Now, he does have to save some face because, obviously, you're right. It was a, hey, go play and good luck and, do this and you'll be fine. It's aggressive. It's going to get to everybody, and it's all going to be how you take it and how careful you are with everything. And it's frustrating, but you're right. I agree with you. I think that one game's a little bit flippant. I wish there was probably a protocol of a series would make a lot of sense because you're stuck somewhere. It's also one of those to where, do you run into, I mean, this is not going to be the last team, and it may not be the last time to happen to the Cardinals. So there does need to be some protocol somewhere about how that works, and whether you move on to the next city or you quarantine until you're clean to move into the next city. You know, I don't know, but I do think it needs to be more than a, hey, we're going to try to play tomorrow.
Yeah. I can, we talked to Mo on Wednesday, was writing, they must have been taking these tests about the time the bloggers were talking with Mo. And you know, he was honest and said, look, he feels like they have good procedures. He feels like they have, you know, good contact tracing and all that kind of stuff, but you just don't know. I mean, it's, you know, as he said, you kind of hold your breath and hope you get through the day, and today it didn't happen. But you know, I feel like maybe, as you kind of said, this is kind of one of those things where if they do it right, you know, maybe baseball gets a little bit more of a confidence that, okay, you know, if teams will do this, if they'll, you know, do the contract tracing, if they'll isolate as soon as they can, if they'll, you know, not try to play with four people sick or whatever, like the Marlins tried to do, you know, if there's actual, you know, some leadership and stuff there, then you can do this and not have to sit out for a week, which is basically what the Marlins are doing here, right? So, you know, hopefully the Cardinals can be the poster child, if you will, for how to deal with this. You know, that said, even if you do everything right, this is a very contagious disease. And we don't, you know, you're always going to assume that a player did something wrong, right? I mean, you kind of assume that they went out to someplace they shouldn't have, or, you know, but it could have been just as easy as, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, just, you know, there's not supposed to be taking cabs and stuff to the ballpark, or maybe he did something like that, you know, or something fairly innocent, you know, that got, you know, food delivered at the wrong, you know, got somebody sneezed at the wrong time. I mean, I don't know, but it could be. I think it's going to be very interesting when they do their tracing, and they won't ever tell us. But I do think it's going to be very interesting to see where they trace it back to where he, you know, if they can try, if they do that, if they can figure out exactly maybe how the people clutch it. Because I'm telling you, you know, you saw this, I retweeted it. You may have seen it. I don't remember who reported it. And it wasn't a Cardinal, necessarily a Cardinal player, but there was a veteran player on some team that said, that basically told the team, you know, told these young guys or told these other players, if you mess up, I'll get you traded. Which, yeah. Which sounds like the out of your Molina type of thing.
they are under the spotlight today, so it would not surprise me.
Let's say, and I don't, again, it looks like it's pitchers. If Mark Saxon's right, that it's two pitchers, then, you know, it's a different story. But, you know, if it had been Harrison Bader, after as rough of a week as Harrison Bader's already having with, you know, bot bloggers and everything else, it seems like everybody's kind of breaking down his weaknesses here. And we can talk about that in a little bit. But if it had been him in a situation where he's already struggling, I mean, that could have been a last straw. That could have been a, you know, okay, not only are you not playing well, we can't trust you to be a good teammate. And, you know, as soon as you're healthy, you're back to Springfield, you know, or, and you're going to be there for a while. Yeah. You know, it could be like that. And I don't know. I mean, is that something that I mean, again, if they're veteran players, you can't really do it. But is that something that teams should think about? It's like, look, for the greater good, even if you're not a liability to us, you know, we're going to do some sort of punitive measure to you that, you know, so people will understand this is a serious thing.
You know, did you get a chance to see what Steven Souza wrote on Twitter, what he posted?
Oh, it was good. Remind me.
Well, it was really good. And all it said was, to the young guys that aren't following this protocol, just know that there's a lot more involved than you. This is our game, you know, type situation. And I may not be, you get the point. And it, you know, I may not be verbatim on this, but it was really good. Now, I thought it was really good. Now, him being a Cub makes it tough because David Ross he was above and beyond and made the comment how we're not doing anything wrong type situation. And, you know, I don't know, that was put on Twitter by someone else. And, so you never know how that came across, but
yeah. Let me tell you, to interrupt you real quick, though.
No.
If David Ross saying that, it's almost the way this virus works is about asking for your team to be wiped out.
That's exactly what I thought.
This virus has been more spiteful than anything I've ever seen.
Well, I thought the same thing. I was like, well, yeah. I mean, don't do that whole thing than now, dude, because you don't know what happened. You know what I mean? Unless they were on the ground and they know a lot more than they're letting out. And they may very well, because players talk. But it bothered me that he put that on there. Now, of course, he has the black mark anyway for me. But, you know, that's personal and whatnot. But I thought Souza was really good. But I felt like what Souza said in combination with what Ross said, you're thinking, well, what are they saying in the clubhouse? You know, type deal. And that's a little bit bothersome. But to answer your question, I don't know. That makes a lot of sense. I like to see that. You know, I like to see – I was really fired up to see that the veteran leadership of the Cardinals is really taking this seriously. Yeah. And I do wonder if we're not going to find out. You know, neither player wanted to be named. And I thought that was interesting because I think that may be one of the only situations so far that that's happened. And I do wonder if we're going to find out leak-wise – if it did, or if we're going to find out by lack of participation. You know, I thought about that as well. So that makes a lot of sense. I would love to see them take the bull by the horns on this type deal.
Well, we're going to definitely, I say definitely, we should get an idea of who it was.
I would just think so.
Well, just because when you get to the field tomorrow, if they do play, and you look out there and
I didn't think about this.
Cody Whitley, for whatever reason, isn't there. Well, yeah, you know, that's probably an indication.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's harder. I mean, you could do a little bit of that when it was just spring camp. But when you get out there and, I mean, unless they've got five pitchers out there and that aren't on the roster, and that's, you know, a couple of them that might have been in contact with them and then a couple of them that might have been sick. But, you know, I think you're going to have be able to at least get an idea, because the guys that have the positive tests aren't going to be back out there, I don't think. I mean, no, because they would only have – they got tested today. So even if it came back negative today, they'd have to take another test and have it come back negative before they could go back out to the field. So Sunday would be the earliest we could get those guys back. And that's assuming almost that it was a false positive, which is possible. I mean, sure. That's, you know, we've seen with Juan Soto, it looks like he probably had a false positive and yet had to sit out pretty much almost 10 days trying to get negative tests. And then the rules of what, you know, District of Columbia's rules were and things of that nature, you know, and that's the tough part about this, right? I mean, because these tests aren't 100% accurate.
Yeah, and I saw you post that on Twitter today as well, and that makes sense. And it seems like I said, it's really tough to put the bullseye on somebody because there's so many things that are wrong, and this thing's evolving, and that's what's scary in its own right. And I don't know, but you just wonder the effectiveness or the margin of error in these tests. Not saying they're wrong, but just like you said, you know, a false positive and we've got to take extra precaution and whatnot, but that's still an area in all this that's we're still perfecting and probably will never perfect, you know, and that's going to leave some questions marked as well.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Now, I think it's pretty obvious if they come back with any positive tests that aren't at least not that are different than these two that we've already got, they have to shut down the series, right? I mean, there's nothing to it. And then we figure out the Detroit thing when it comes. But, you know, if there's anybody else, even one more positive test tomorrow, there's no way they can play, right?
No, I would think so. Yeah. And that's Milwaukee worked out today. But does that mean that there's tests pending on them, maybe?
No, because I think the fact that the Cardinals never went to Miller Park.
Okay.
They've never been in contact with the Brewers, never been anything like that. So the Brewers don't necessarily have to test. I mean, I'm sure that they've been doing some testing, but I know that they said now that the Twins did test today and did not come back with any
positive. Okay, good.
But, you know, again, if it's a situation where you ran into the guy on Wednesday – a test on Friday doesn't necessarily come up, but it is it's a good thing to start with. I mean, you'd rather see that than to see some positive tests, because that's the real scary thing, right? I mean, it's one thing if a team has it, because they do interact and they get it together. But if it starts spreading to the team that you're playing when you're not, you know, then I think I haven't seen anything about it recently, but you know what? Wasn't there a Phillies coach or some of the staff that tested positive like yesterday or something? And so there was this idea that, you know, maybe he had jumped across. And of course the visiting clubhouse guy, got it in Philadelphia. So, you know, besides the fact that you're seeing it into these, you know, into the extra staff and not just the players, which I know a lot of people say, well, they're young and they'll be fine. And again, we've talked about this a lot. You don't know that. You don't know what the things are going to be 5 or 10 years down the line. And we're seeing some heart issues and things of that nature that go with it. So, but when you get into the staff, I mean, some of those staff guys, 50, 60 years old, you know, managers and stuff like that, it becomes a lot more dicey for them. So to see it spreading into those kind of people is scary.
Well, you saw David Martinez's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, broke down to tears. And I was like, you know that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a scary situation. And, you know, I don't think, like myself and probably most of the players, it's not that I'm worried for us and for you. Right. It's worried for that easily, you know, the ones that could easily be in serious, serious trouble when you get this. And that's really worrisome.
Yeah. Now, again, we're getting to that point where we're talking about, you know, what is an integrity of the season? I mean, like I said, we've seen so many games canceled. I mean, I know that we talked about earlier, Rob Manfred said it could shut down as early as Monday, and I don't see that unless some other team gets if somebody out the West Coast maybe catches it, then, you know, then maybe all bets are off. But if they, you know, if they have to cancel another series or two series this coming week, do you think it gets passed? Or is it, you think that's where they'll start pulling the trigger? Or are they going to try to blow their way through it?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I get the feeling that they're going to do all they can to finish it. And, you know, it's one of those, is like 60 games. Let's figure it out and let's go. And I don't know what the breaking point is going to be. I personally was a little surprised on Monday of the backlash about going ahead and playing with the Marlins, because I thought, well, I expected this, you know, that's, yeah. I felt like we all did, but it seemed pretty rampant and there seemed to be more to the story. It's funny. I wish I had a better idea of what I think the breaking point is going to be, because I really just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when the Marlins situation happened, I really got the impression that because it didn't feel like, you know, they were going to cancel too much, I really got the feeling that they're just, there's nothing that could stop this season. Beyond like dramatic stuff, like somebody dying or something. I don't really think that's going to happen. You never know. I mean, again, like we talked about it. What if Davey Martinez got it with his heart condition?
Wow.
You know, then it's like, oh my goodness, what have we done? But anyway, but now, like I said, you've had to cancel so many games. You get the Cardinals having it and you're canceling games. I think that there might be enough of a momentum that they might just have to, just out of, well, and again, to some degree, I mean, you know, we've always said 60 games was a little bit short of a season anyway, right? But it's not what we'd like, but it still feels like it's enough that probably the best teams are going to kind of work their way up. You may have some surprises, but it's fairly representative. But you start getting teams that start playing 55 games, 50 games. I mean, you know, if this team's playing 56 and this game's playing 60, I know they're going to go by winning percentages, but when does, you know, and if you're starting to have to do this every week, you know, I don't know. I think there might be a situation where there's just enough uncertainty and there's enough of, okay, now this team's got it. Now this team starts to travel and this team's got it, that they're not going to want to try to reschedule and revamp this schedule and work on that many doubleheaders and things like that. And I think that, boy, honestly, I think it might be closer than I've ever thought it would be. It's kind of feels like, I think Derek Gould may have put it on his Twitter, that the Cardinals are kind of that balancing act. If the Cardinals don't get, if it doesn't spread through their team, if it stays at the two, they've isolated and they're able to play like tomorrow or even if it's Sunday, then you feel like, okay. But if a team, especially the Cardinals seem to have been taking it seriously, and if it blows through them and you've had to spend another week with a team that doesn't play, then that feels like maybe that's where they're going to have to start saying, no, this isn't working.
Well, and I agree with that. And so another angle that I kind of thought about when Gould's article talked about that was, the Cardinals are one of those organizations that, I can't say this without being really detrimental to somebody, but I don't think the Marlins tip the scale that much. I think the Cardinals are one of the teams that would. I think Boston, New York,
yeah,
LA, you know what I mean? When one of those go down like this and then the integrity of the game looks really bad when it comes to one of those teams, I think that that's probably going to be that will probably spark a lot more of this conversation. I think the Cardinals are right in the middle. If there's an 8 most important franchises in baseball, I would say the Cardinals are one of them. And that's one of those to where middle of the country, huge fan base, huge following. This happens and things are a little dicey after that. And I do wonder, and I do honestly think that that may play a part.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think to go along with that, and like I said, the Cardinals make a little bit more of an impact. But then if it ever did hit the big market, Yankees, Cubs, Dodgers, Red Sox. I mean, really big markets. Like, it's kind of going along with what you're saying there. Those teams that really make an impact. You know, I honestly, if it had been the Yankees to the Marlins that had 16 cases, I don't know that we play now.
Yeah, I remember you bringing that up.
I don't know. I mean, they might have been able to, because there is a lot of money involved, and there's a lot of owners that still want to play. But, you know, it puts you on such a microscope when a team like the Yankees or the Red Sox or anything like that has this thing that everybody's going to be talking about. I mean, everybody's talking about it anyway. But it gets an extra level when you've got those teams involved. So that might have done it already. And if they ever do, I think by now we're close enough to that if a big team like that got it would shut down probably right after.
Yeah, I kind of think the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we spent plenty of time talking about this for the fact that we have no answers and really don't know how it's all going to plan out. But that seems to be the way the season's going. Let's talk a little bit about that Minnesota series. Yeah, I mean, might have been more fun talking about the virus.
Exactly.
It's sad. It was not good. And it's, again, it's games 4 and 5 in the season, so it's a little bit hard to figure this out. Twins are a very good team. That being said, you should score more off of Homer, Bailey, and Rich Hill, it feels like. I think that's the starting point. That the offense just didn't do it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I would have said the exact same thing. It was funny, after coming off the weekend, and even having the conversation on Monday about how the lineup feels pretty stout right now because you have Goldschmidt and DeJong in the middle and all that. And I thought, you know what? I never expect a sweep. I would have liked to have seen one in the beginning just because they played so well on Friday and Saturday to kind of lay that egg on Sunday. But that's the Cardinals for you. That happens all the time.
Sure.
I wasn't super positive going to Minnesota anyway. And just because I always feel – I know this sounds crazy because there's no crowd or anything, but I always give the advantage to the home team still playing on their turf as opposed to the teams coming in that very rarely play there. You know what I mean? I just feel like there is a newness to it that makes a difference. I was thinking maybe split the series, and I honestly thought there would be Homer Bailey. And I really thought that Martinez would pitch well. And ultimately he did, but he just couldn't. It was those first two innings that just shook him up, you know, one of those things. And I hate using that term because then it all seems like a mental deal. And, you know, that's you go downhill quickly when you start bringing that up.
Yeah.
But you just knew, even the battle back, you're thinking, okay, well, then you feel pretty good about Wednesday night. And, boy, that was ugly. It was, boring. It brought back a lot of feelings of a lot of points in the season last year, and it made you feel a lot like the NLCS last year. And that was the most troubling part because I caught myself, you know, reading Twitter a heck of a lot more than I did watching the game. And that's one of those things that I didn't really feel like I would probably be doing a lot of this year. And it's probably because just that what they put out there just was dull.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was the first game. Well, it was the first one in 108 games that they didn't have. Either that they didn't have an extra base hit, or they didn't have an at bat with a runner in scoring position. Both of those were long streaks that snapped that night because they had three singles and just didn't get anything going. I could almost understand Rich Hill because he's not throwing fastballs and. At this time of year, you hadn't seen a whole lot of stuff, maybe. But even then, it doesn't shut you down that much, you know. And maybe you get into that bullpen and be able to put some sort of rally together. There just really never was that. You're right. At least Tuesday night, you know, you could say that was a good game. If Carlos could have made like a pitch or two in the fifth inning or the second inning, that five-run inning, if he makes one or two different pitches or a play goes a little bit different way, that maybe he gets out of that with two or three runs.
And
then you're all right.
And it's one of those, you kind of, not to cut you off, but he is rusty. You know, we're going to run into that. Sure. So that's acceptable. But yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, he did have Paul DeJong had a play that he probably should have gone a different way with. And, that Carlos could have, you know, kind of knocked him. Maybe if he hadn't touched it long fields, you know, I mean, there's, things that kind of snowball after a while. But you're right. There was a little bit of rust there. And he did bounce back. And that was really just kind of really bad, one bad inning. But, you know, it also looked a little bit of boom and bust there, which is kind of like we saw last year too. You know, he hit, what, two home runs. But that is that kind of, you know, scored three and two of them are on homers. So that's kind of like opening day, right? There was, what, four runs and three of them home runs or something like that. Home runs are good, but, you know, I think we all really got excited about that game against the Pirates on last Saturday, just a week from tomorrow. This week has been weird.
Yeah. Time is irrelevant now. It's crazy. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, we never know what anything is. But, you know, that game where they had, you know, people getting hits and people running the bases, and you kind of saw what they could do, and they just haven't done it since then. And it's hard to know, you know, again, are they, you know, we talked to Mo again, and he asked him a little bit about that. And he said, look, they had three games on, one game off, two games on, day off. Said, let's get a stretch of games together and see what happens. Now, of course, that stretch of games then starts with a day off because of this, and we don't know what that's going to look like. But, you know, they basically have 2 weeks full of games. And so I don't think that Harris Vader's going to get 2 weeks worth of at-bats to flail around with. But there is something that's to be said for maybe these main guys hopefully finding some sort of rhythm because, you know, they haven't seen other pitching. They, you know, they played inter-squad games, but I can't feel like that's exactly the same. You know, they played the game against the Royals, and then they're just really not seeing a lot of new stuff. So hopefully that's it. Now, if we're sitting here in another week or two, assuming health, and they're still having the same issues, then I don't think you can use that excuse anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there's going to be some tendencies early to, and I agree with them, to be honest with you, of, you know, it's just odd. There's going to be some oddities to everything, and, you know, it's going to be hard not to overreact. You know, I think that just because they're under the microscope for the St. Louis fan base so much between you and I and everybody in social media, that it's easy to pick out those things. But I think we're correct in the fact that we've seen enough of this to where, okay, let's start redirecting and let's maybe start integrating some people even after five games. So let's start moving around, see if you can catch a spark and you can play well. It's hard to say when you're not on the field either and you're stuck in a hotel room. So that's going to be an issue, but no, I agree with you. And I kind of know where we're all going with it and how we all feel, but it's a valid point in the fact that we've seen so much of it in the last year and a half.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing. And I think that's why you saw a significant number of articles this week about Harrison Bader. And again, you know, Schilt said, we've got to give him opportunities and things like that, and somewhat fair, but as you know, as most of these articles have noted over, you know, we're looking at, you know, well, he's getting real close to 1,000 plate appearances, I think, for his career. And the tendencies are there. He cannot hit or has not hit breaking pitches. And it feels like, you know, he's not, you know, he's going to have to, because that's all anybody's going to throw him from now on. And if he's going to play, and if he's going to be this, you know, outfield, there's only so much. His defense isn't so great that somebody like Lane Thomas or Dylan Carlson can't play that position, and the step down in defense is more than made up with the step in offense. He's going to have to figure out how to hit breaking pitches. And I think the fact that, you know, here we are five games in and he's still not being able to, doesn't really bode well for his long-term chances.
It's troublesome, and I'm hoping within a month that we're looking back going, man, he really came alive, and we kind of feel bad for saying that, but I'm kind of confident that that's not going to happen. You know, also, he's one of those guys, like we said, for you know, about Colton Wong for all those years. You wouldn't think Wong struggled so much if it wasn't for the other parts of the lineup struggling, you know, because you have him in here defensively. Wong's kind of overcome that a little bit. and he's productive, but still yet, you just don't know how long, if everyone in the offense is struggle, the spotlight turns on those guys quickly. And, you know, here we are talking about how the composing of the lineup is so impressive, but you know, it's a lot of the same last year, and that nine spot last year was a pitcher.
Yep, that's true. And I mean, I'm just pulling up the stats, and you know, there's not a lot there. You know, if you want to look by batting average, you know, Goldschmidt's doing better than I thought he was.
Sure.
316, has a home run. You know, and then you got Edmund and Fowler with a 250 average.
Yeah.
And then it gets
And it's funny because Edmund's numbers, you know, it almost kind of looks like he's struggling, but the three strikeout game is the only thing that's bringing him down right now, you know, and that's, and that hurts him, but I felt like Edmund's played well, and you're right. I mean, it's one of those, I have the reference page up right now, and I was kind of going over it too. And, you know, looking at extra base hits, because ultimately there's not a lot of people in the Cardinal lineup that's hitting the ball hard. Mm-hmm. And I was looking and thinking, well, that's, you know, that's a problem to kind of bring the spotlight out. But I feel like that's a spot to where you're really walking a tightrope right now, because you want him to play defensively. It's big in a 60 game season, but mm-hmm. how much of this wanting him to play is now hurting Thomas? And, that bothers me probably as much as anything.
Yeah. I mean, Bader is 1-for-11. He has no walks. He, you know, he got hit by a pitch twice. So he scored a couple of runs. He's got a double. He had a nice double, but you know, there's just, I don't know. I don't think that, I'm not saying that he doesn't get another start or two here, but I think we see a lot more Lane Thomas this week. Because I think, and again, Dylan Carlson could be called up right now and not have the service time issues, but one, the Cardinals I've been pretty adamant that they're not sending him down for that. And so they're not going to bring him back on day seven and say, it just happened to be. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to let these guys have a little bit to rate. Now, is it a week or two? I mean, if Thomas gets a lot of play and he doesn't do anything, you could see Carlson, but I don't think you see him. You know, I think I was pretty consistent saying that maybe it'd be closer to the end of August. It might be more middle August now. But,
yeah.
I think that it's still going to be a bit.
Well, and I think they're going to look for a spark somewhere. You know, the there's kind of an albatross to me is, what about Dean? Where does Austin Dean fit into these things? I feel like if he had center field experience, it would push Carlson a little bit down the ledger. But I don't say that with a lot of confidence. You know what I mean? I just feel like they're kind of in love with him. But I say that, and, you know, he doesn't have an at-bat this year. You know what I mean? One of those type deals. So
it really is a little bit surprising that he doesn't have an at-bat this year. I'm no expert at any of this right now, but I think there's been this idea that Tyler O'Neill can play center field, right?
Yeah.
So do you shift Tyler O'Neill over and let Dean play over there as an option before you go to Carlson? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what? You may call me completely crazy on this. I'm not so certain. They don't have an element of comfort to do that with Fowler. And I'm not certain that's safe, but I think I could almost see Fowler moving over for Dean and Wright if they needed to. Because if you think about it, Fowler played a lot of center field last year, more than we expected.
Yeah, it would maybe. I mean, you're right. He did play more there, and they have been a little bit more open to that.
But. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, remember the offense that they looked for last year was Fowler, Martinez, and Wright.
Yeah, yeah. It could be. I mean, I definitely wouldn't rule it out. I don't know that that's necessarily the best thing.
No, I can agree with.
Yeah, but could you see it at least on an occasional basis? I mean, maybe. I mean, Dexter's one that's hitting a little bit. I mean, he's got a homer. He's got four hits. So there's a little bit there. I mean, again, we're looking at 5 days, you know.
The beauty of this is we can't have these knee-jerk reactions.
But what's a little bit what I think, I hate to point it out because I got to do a show with Tara on Sunday, but I don't know that Colton's getting it done at the beginning of the starting lineup. 4 for 20. I mean, he's had a couple of good games, but I think all I see is on base percentage is .238 right now. He's got one walk. Mm-hmm. I've always felt like, you know, that this offense or any offense is going to go, you know, it's going to click a lot better when your leadoff man is getting on a regular basis. And right now there's a lot of, you know, we talked about that one game where everything was rolling forward and, you know, you got to see the bottom of the lineup roll into the top of the lineup with Edmund and Wong. But, you know, right now it's just not enough, I don't think, out of Colton. Now, you know, again, if he gets something lit up, then you get a guy on and you've got Edmund up and then you've got Goldschmidt and maybe something can start clicking. But when you start, you know, an inning with an out, then it becomes difficult.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's I was going to bring that up and I was looking and I was thinking, you know, I do remember some balls he's hit hard at people. And I'm kind of giving him a pass. But, yeah, I just about brought that up on Monday, to be honest with you, to where I was like, after one series, I kind of hate to do this. I said, but sometimes that can be the table setter that it gets everything going. Now, I like the composition of the lineup right now. Mm-hmm. I personally, even as big as a Paul DeJong fan, I'm a huge Paul DeJong fan, one of my favorite Cardinals, to be honest with you. I still think he's miscast as a 3 or 4 hitter. And I know that doesn't sound – honestly, they don't have any other choice, really. But I kind of like that 5 and 6 less pressure deal just to go up there and hack and not have to think through things. Now, they don't feel that way with him just because his aptitude, baseball aptitude, is brought up more than anything as far in regard to his play. So that's not a huge problem right now, and I still think you're going to get a ton of home runs out of him and a ton of doubles. You're going to live with the strikeouts. That's baseball right now. But still, there's just some tweaks in the lineup that you feel like they could do, but they really don't have any other option because I'm not really sure what other leadoff option you have right now.
Yeah. I mean, unless you moved Edmund up, but, you know, even that's not necessarily going to do a lot.
Yeah.
I will say, maybe because we've had different looks at that, that the Wong Edmund 1-2, I mean, it's not a bad one, obviously, but it feels a little bit underpowered for what we've had at the top of the lineup at times. You know, even when Dexter was hitting second, I mean, there one year he hit 18 home runs or whatever like that. It just, the two guys up there, they're going to have to get on by walking or you know, hitting, and they're going to be the traditional leadoff type of guys, which is good, and that can be very helpful. But they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna shock anybody by hitting one out, right? You know, I don't think on a regular basis. So I don't know. You're right. Paul DeJong's strikeouts are a little concerning to me. Like you said, it is a bit of baseball, but he's got 7 in 17 plate appearances. But Tommy Edmund's got 7. Carpenter's got 6. Fowler's got 6. I mean, the only person that didn't have, you know, Tyler O'Neill is the one that everybody was worried about. He's got 1. You know, I was a little bit surprised looking at the stats. I feel like Tyler O'Neill is starting off a little bit better. You know, 3 hits, 2 of them are homers.
Yeah.
And we saw him move up to the 5th spot in the lineup on Wednesday because, you know, Carpenter sat and things of that nature. Do you think we're going to see him up a little bit higher now, or are we going to go back to him hitting 8th whenever we play again?
I keep thinking that. I would probably say 8 for a while, but middle of the lineup coming soon. I think that's probably where they wanted to hit him in the beginning anyway, but didn't want to put a lot of pressure on him. But, I mean, the power is there, and, I mean, the power-speed combo is impressive, and I think that will come soon. But I don't think so. I think that we'll probably see – I think they'll leave Carpenter there for a little while longer, and – we may see some subtle changes happening probably after Milwaukee. Maybe when you get back to, maybe when you get back to St. Louis, if you play and can finish in Milwaukee, then go knock out Detroit, then get back to St. Louis, I could see some things.
And that's a possibility. I think there's, of course, you know, with this weekend a bit up in the air anyway, but, you know, there is something to be said for saying, okay, we're going to play these three games against Milwaukee, and then we'll play the two against Detroit, and then go home, and that give that, I mean, there's not an off day, but even just that transition of going home sure. allows you to open the homestand with something different.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, and especially if you struggle for some reason against the Detroit and those two games in Detroit, it gives you a really good option to then change the lineup or change whatever for the two games against Detroit in Busch Stadium. That is, of course, if there's baseball.
Exactly.
You're seeing something that came up on Twitter now that, you know, Keith Olbermann is saying that people have told him that the networks that broadcast MLB games have been alerted to look for possible alternate programming after this weekend. I mean, that's just probably a little bit of abundance of caution type of thing of, hey guys, if you want to put, you might want to be looking at something else. Don't think there's any decisions made, but it's just another little bit of scary thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't seen that. And I'm kind of afraid to look, you know, I'd rather go to this baseball reference page and hope for the best.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Stay there. We saw, of course, the other news from this week is that Miles Michaelis is out for the year with some sort of with a tendon issue. It doesn't look like there's a Tommy John in his future, which is good. And he's out for 2020. He should be ready for opening day 2021, but that obviously means that there's a spot in the rotation. The Cardinals went with Daniel Ponce de Leon against the Twins. And if it wasn't for that first inning, I think Ponce would have looked pretty good, but he threw 30 pitches, I think, in that first inning, and that limited to what he could do. And sure. He got some bad calls at the end of it. He should have gotten through the fourth. He had the guy struck out and they didn't call it. What you saw out of Ponce, do you think they'll stay there? Do you think they'll maybe shift to Gomber? Doesn't sound like they want to go to KK just yet.
Yeah, I would think that he'd probably earned himself another start. Yeah, that was the – for somebody that struck out eight people, he had a hard time in the first two innings finishing anybody. You know what I mean? He had to throw a lot of pitches because of that. And then to come out and do that, you're thinking, well, that was pretty impressive. And I've always kind of liked Ponce, and I kind of thought that he was – had approved everything. He had done everything earn a shot, and I think that he'll probably get another start. I don't expect there to be a whole lot, some wholesale changes on that. But like I said, in a year this weird, you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, when we had that Zoom call, Bo said, you know, kind of don't get attached to roles. That things are going to kind of float in and out as they need to. And I mean, again, you get situations like this where they say they're not going to redo their lineup for this weekend. They're going to keep it. I mean, the rotation, it's still going to be Flaherty, Wainwright, and Hudson. But there are going to be opportunities like this, either for your team or the other team, to juggle things around. And, you know, maybe Gomber can go in and pitch because this team's got a strong lefty presence. So you boost that. And then you have Ponce de Leon the next time. And I mean, it feels like if they're going to go to Kim, they're going to do it pretty early just so he can start getting stretched out. But, of course, you know, we haven't seen him except for that first game, have we? So he really would have to be stretched out. He may have to get stretched out just to pitch the ninth anymore. But, you know, there's those options. There's Jake Woodford who gets called up. He's on the roster now. Although he's probably going to be that, you know, kind of fill in what Ponce de Leon was doing in the bullpen. There are a number of options, and it's going to be interesting that they very well may rotate through all of them at some point in time, just depending on matchups and things of that nature.
Yeah, and you think that opportunity is going to be there, and that's, you know, the last two shortened starts have given some opportunity for some guys, and the bullpen's looked fantastic. You know, guys have, you know, earned their spot. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be fluid. And I kind of like you pointed that out about don't get so used to roles, you know, and we may see some weird things. I mean, it's kind of a embrace the weird type year anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do because, like we said, you know, there's more things different about this year than there are the same for baseball. We saw that again this week. We've seen it now that they've gone to 7-inning doubleheaders. I don't really get that because you're spending 4 hours at the ballpark anyway. Yeah. What's another few innings? I mean, that seems a weird thing to do for health reasons. I think to some degree it's just to try to get things done and try to get them over with and maybe not wear people out, especially if there's going to be some times where you don't have a full roster. But I don't know. It just seems, I mean, you put that on top of the universal DH and this expanded playoff nonsense and, you know, the extra runner and the extra innings and all this other stuff. And you start wondering, is this still baseball? It's not the baseball that I'm used to, at least.
Sure. And I was prepared for that this year. I like the 7-inning doubleheaders, by the way. The main reason I do is, and if you do the 7-inning doubleheaders at the minor league parks are about an hour and a half typically. Realize how much Major League Baseball slows down in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. And that I guarantee you that had to come into play. You actually see that in every level of baseball when you do 7-inning doubleheaders and 7-inning games. It just moves quicker, you know, because honestly it's finding that rhythm and everything's moving fast in the beginning. So I kind of like that. I'm ready to see that. That is one I do kind of get concerned may stay. But we don't see doubleheaders anyway, so I don't know. You know, I'm not so certain that some of these changes are gonna happen. But yeah, that's one of those things. As far as anything that goes into play this year, it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. And I'm excited to see the best players on the planet do it and take advantage of it. But you know, it's one more just like, hey, let's just hope they play tomorrow type deal for me.
Yeah, I mean that's really what it seems to be about every day. Is just hope that the game that's supposed to happen that day does, and the game that happens the next day does. I think probably you're kind of right that the 7-inning doubleheaders probably don't stick just because of that. It's that they don't, you know, this year there's probably going to be a lot, you know, like we said, there's already been 15 games that need to be made up. We're going to see a double. I think we've already had a couple doubleheaders, right? Not the Cardinals haven't, but it feels like I saw somebody already had one. I don't know for sure. Cardinals and Brewers will have one on Sunday if everything goes right. There's probably going to be some for the Marlins and the Phillies trying to make some games up here and there. So we're going to see a lot more of those than we would normally. So I can understand the 7 innings for this year, I guess, in that regard. But I feel like, you know, there's some years you don't go, you go through a whole season and don't have a doubleheader.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, it probably is one way to appease those that might still want to keep a little bit of tradition by saying they'll stay with 9-inning doubleheaders just because they don't have to worry about it as much. Overall, boy, it's hard to tell. I mean, it really is hard to tell what this team is, and what is going to matter. I mean, you know, we thought the Reds were going to be a contender. They had trouble with the Tigers. You know, they're 2-4. The Pirates are 2-4. Cardinals 2-3. That Brewers are 3-3. The Cubs are 4-2. I mean, it's just kind of, thankfully, nobody's really kind of grabbed it and taken off with it. I don't know how the games are looking tonight, but you know, that's fortunate. I mean, and it gives the Cardinals a little bit of time to get their feet under them and hopefully figure it out. I say the Cubs are leading the Pirates right now, so that, you know, they're going to fall a little bit farther back if that holds. But you just hope that everybody's healthy, and you hope that they can, you know, maybe use this as a bit of a wake up call and figure out something, because I just don't. I mean, today is July 31st. It normally would be the trade deadline day. We'd be talking about whatever the Cardinals did or didn't do. I just kind of got the impression he didn't really quite say that, but I got the impression Mo's not planning on doing a whole lot at the August trading deadline.
Oh, I can imagine. I thought about that from the beginning. I just, like I said with the Cardinals, I just don't feel like they're going to lose their discipline or stray too far from the ultimate plan with the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. And again, you know, we've talked about it, how this is probably going to be a pretty cold trading deadline anyway, just because nobody's going to want to take on a large contract. And if you're going to have to eat most of a contract, why aren't you trading them off and things of that nature? So wouldn't expect much of anybody to get moved. But you know, we'll see, I guess, as the next month goes. But, you know, the Cardinals are going to have to try to win with what they've got and win what they've got in Springfield if they need them. And, you know, we'll see if that's a little bit better going forward. Anything else that we didn't talk about, Alan, you want to hit on before we wrap it up?
Well, no, I can't think of anything. We covered quite a bit. I was hoping that we would get some update to break some news on here, and it doesn't seem like we have. Nothing positive. I didn't find the old woman tweet, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. So, yeah, that's troublesome, but that can go in a bunch of different ways. I would think that that's the situation with just about every sport right now.
Yeah, and I mean, he even followed up and said it's not that they're going to cancel after this weekend, or that they, even if they cancel, it'll be, you know, immediately. They're just basically saying, look, this is a possibility. Sure. You need to have some backup plans. And that's kind of, honestly, you would think that those kind of networks would have had backup plans anyway. Because the idea that, you know, there's been a lot of people that have not had this idea that the season's not going to make it all the way through anyway. I mean, it's not a real surprise. So if you're just now thinking, oh, well, we should have some other kind of programming, well, that's probably not real wise planning on your part.
Yeah, absolutely. It's yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And it's, I think that every walk of life, you should probably be pretty fluid right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be ready to do anything. Oh, I see Josh Donaldson left tonight's game with a right calf tightness. Couldn't have done that against the Cardinals.
Nope. And it's the season's official if Donaldson's hurt.
That's perhaps one of the reasons
the Cardinals that number is going down in this series. You know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody brought it on. It's all Alan's fault. So anyway, we will be back with you probably next week. Hopefully we're still talking about the 2020 season and not the season that was. But until then, that is Alan. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.